You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarlane. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Hey, it's HR Happy Hour. We're back. My name's Steve Bowes. This is HR Happy Hour 225, coming to you live from Kronos Works 2015 in my second home, quite frankly, for the number of times I've been here this year at Las Vegas at the beautiful Aria Casino and Resorts and Convention Center, a great venue for a conference. I know I was here at least a couple times earlier this year, once with the Health and Benefits Leadership Conference, but maybe one other time as well. Lovely place to have a conference. Having a really good time here at Kronos Works. So we're going to talk about what's happening here at Kronos Works. Today is November 16th. It's Monday.
It is.
You can talk, Jenna. You're here. You're fine. It's a Monday. We're recording live. Trish can't be with us. We wish Trish the best. She's in Dubai today. She just keynoted a big conference in Dubai. So congrats to Trish and good luck to her making her way back from Dubai. So we'll have her next time on the show, of course. And so, but you have me, Steve. I'm here. It's your Happy Hour 225 at Kronos Works. I have a great guest with me. I have a couple of guests, really. I have one official guest and like a bystander here who I'm going to like get into the show as well. But our guest today is Jim Kislevich.
Very good.
Did I say that right, Jim?
Good.
Jim Kislevich, Chief Marketing Officer, Kronos. Jim, how are you, buddy?
Good, Steve. How are you? Great to be here.
I am fantastic. It is great to be here. You win the prize, Jim, for one of the tougher names to pronounce.
Yes. I'm going to hold that title for years, I think.
On the show in a while. There was a guy I had on the show not too long ago. He from Benefit Focus. I don't know if you ever heard of those guys.
Absolutely.
He won the prize for the best beard in the history of Happy Hour guests. It was very robust. You know, it was one of those like hipster beards. It was good stuff. But you have the best name, I think. So, Jim, welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Great to be here. I should tell you about my name, though.
My
wife's maiden name was Pepe. P-E-P-I. So
wow.
She's like, how do you spell Kislevich? And I said, well, it's K-I-Z-I-E-L-E-W-I-C-Z. And she goes, just like the Disney song. I'm like, yep, that's it. So from there on, she says, how do you spell Kislevich? She's got to do that in her head.
Boy, I wonder how long did it take her to like rethink the whole decision after she learned the last name? She's like, naming.
Luckily, we dated for a
while. I'm not sure this is the right move. So Jim, tell us about yourself and tell us what you're doing, what you do at Kronos, and then maybe a little bit of the Kronos story, if you don't mind.
Sure. Let me just start. I'm an old-time Kronos employee. I've been with the company 34 years, if you can believe it.
I'm going to tell you what. I cannot believe it. I'm looking at you. So when did you join it? About seven?
No.
Holy cow.
My first job out of college. And to give you a little bit of background, I went to school with Aaron Ayne, his current CEO.
Right.
We were friends in college. He graduated a couple of
years
ago.
What college?
Hamilton College in upstate New York.
Upstate New York? Yeah. My stomping grounds.
Yeah, in the MSCAC system.
Sure.
So anyway, it was 1981, and it was a global economic recession on. I wasn't ready to go to grad school, so I started dialing friends, and I heard that Aaron's brother Mark had started this company called Kronos.
Oh, wow, okay.
Made the call to see if there were any opportunities there. One thing led to another, and joined the company 2 weeks after graduating.
Wow, so you were like employee number very low.
28, and I think I'm number six on the seniority list now.
Good.
Not
Lord.
That I'm keeping track.
Not that I'm aware of these
yeah,
things.
Exactly. But so I've had a variety of jobs over the course of the tenure here, mostly around the product, marketing industry areas. But today I look after three areas. I'm the chief marketing officer, so global marketing at Kronos.
Mm-hmm.
I also look after our Workforce Ready business unit, which is a product we acquired 3 years ago to focus on the small and medium-sized sector.
Okay.
And I'm leading a cross-functional group around our cloud transformation from a licensed vendor into the SaaS world.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we get into the podcast a little bit. So, and I'll just so folks know, in case we invite her to comment, Jenna Slattery is here as well, social media manager, specialist, queen of Kronos.
Guru.
Yeah, Guru works.
Who's been my great host at this event. And so thanks so much, everything, Jenna, for helping having me here and putting this podcast together as well. So Jenna's with us too. Hey, my pleasure. Jim, give us a little bit of the Chronos story. Now, you mentioned you started very early on, 34 years ago, but tell us a little bit of where sort of you were, where you've come, and sort of where you're at now. Tell us a little bit about
sure.
that.
Sure. So I think at the heart of the company, the thing that we've always really done is we keep track of employees' hours, what's known as time and attendance. That has morphed over the years from, you know, going way back to standalone time clocks to PCs right. to Unix and so forth. But if I fast forward to today, really what that has evolved into our two separate product lines, distinct areas of focus. We've got what's called Workforce Central. Think of this as your global enterprise solution.
Okay.
Sold to, you know, the largest companies in the world, the Targets, the GEs, the General Motors, the Starbucks, if you will.
Right.
And that solution is a full suite of what we call workforce management applications. It keeps track of employees' time, both when they're there and things like absence management mm-hmm. when they're not. It's used to schedule the workforce. It's used to keep track of what activities or what types of jobs they do during the course of the day. And it also has a very robust analytics capability to help them understand labor as a percent of their business or other key performance indicators. It's a global product. It's deployed in 113 countries.
Which
is a whole real challenge when you're trying to do the work rules in that many different
countries. Compliance challenges.
It's a nightmare. So it's really the industry's premier global solution when it comes to that. But we typically sell that to really large enterprises. We will sell it to some smaller and medium-sized businesses mm-hmm. who really want that industry capability,
right?
Particularly around scheduling. But then that's Workforce Central, and then we've got Workforce Ready, which is really targeted at small and medium-sized customers. In this product, a little different. It does the core workforce management that I talked about.
Okay.
But it also adds in core HR, payroll, and a number of the talent management applications.
Okay.
And we sell that both on a direct basis and through a indirect partner channel, which we call SaaS HR.
Okay. Jim, so that product was an acquired product. The Workforce Central product was built organically, right?
Yep.
Over the years. And as you said, it has presence all over the world in some of the world's largest companies. That's got to require a pretty significant investment in research and development just to achieve that kind of scale and then to continue to sort of stay current with all the requirements, not only legislative, legal, regulatory, and such, but also the requirements of these really complex enterprises. I'd love for you to comment. We've heard some of this earlier today from Aaron in his opening keynote about the commitment to innovation and research. I'd love for you maybe to comment a little bit of your perspective about innovation here.
So I have a unique perspective on this being the company for 34 years. It amazes me. We never run out of the feature list. At some point you think, when will you be done?
Are we finished?
Are we done? Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
People get this product in their hands and they find new ways to use it, the technology shifts around it, new areas come into play like mobile and so forth. But to give you some of the stats, this year we're going to spend about $130 million on R&D, which is just a phenomenal large number. The last 5 years, it's obviously been over $500 million we've spent. There's about 1,200 employees in the product group dedicated to moving these applications.
Do all the development in-house?
Yes, it's spread out in a number of geographies.
Okay.
Really three main tech centers we have, Boston being one, the Chelmsford office. We've got up to about 600 employees in Noida, India. And then up in Montreal, Canada, mm-hmm. we also have another center there, which we specialize in the area of scheduling and optimization up there. So across those three centers are roughly where the 1,200 employees are located. But it's it's a never-ending list. I think there's the bar keeps getting raised. A couple areas that we're really focused on is the user experience.
Right.
That has become everything these days. We find we have to have that depth in keeping track of all these work rules and doing the job correctly for people, but it also has to be real easy to use, so we're constantly focused on that.
Yeah, that's interesting that you brought up user experience, Jim. I've done a number of these podcasts at a few different vendor events this year. It's great to do them here because you get to talk to people like one-on-one and face-to-face, and I was just at one at iSIMS we did last week, and I think I asked the CEO of iSIMS the same kind of question I asked you about innovation and development, and he said the same. His first answer was the same answer you gave, was user experience, right? And I could probably pull up the last five interviews I've done on this kinds of topics, and four of them probably talked about user experience. I think the really interesting thing, too, is with a technology like Chronos, unlike most other HR technologies. Your technologies are used by everyone, or nearly everyone.
That's correct, yep.
Almost every day, if not every day, which think about performance management or talent planning or even recruiting, right? Those things are not used by as many employees as you guys touch, and certainly not at the volume you guys touch. So, I mean, user experience has got to be an ongoing challenge. I'd love for you to comment on your philosophy around user experience with everyone uses your product.
Absolutely. So that is an excellent point. So we're serving really all the employees in the organization, from the hourly worker who's out in the retail store or in the hotel or on the shop floor. You know, their interaction most days starts with Kronos when they come to work.
Yeah.
It starts there. Also, we like to think that no one ever says, "Hey, I just had a great payroll run." They never call you when "Hey, I just wanted to tell you my payroll's perfect this
week. My check is right."
So we typically feed payroll, but we think we do most of the heavy lifting around payroll.
Yeah.
We're taking those hours of those transactions, summarizing them, applying the company's payrolls. And that all has to work, seamlessly, work 24/7. So the reliability is huge. Just making sure this stuff is up and running. You know, when you've got a place like Target running 400,000 employees on one instance of the software, scheduling all their workers and keeping track of all their hours, you can't afford to have this thing go down. And so we're, quality's built right in from day one, as is performance, so that it performs really well.
Yeah.
The other thing we're seeing is a big emergence of mobile. So not so much in the sense of people clocking in and out on mobile. That's been happening for a while with remote workers. But with the proliferation of cell phones, people just want to be able to say, "Hey, I want to check my schedule.
Yeah,
I want to swap my schedule.
Sure. Yeah.
I want to request time off." It's really a trend where we think we're on the forefront there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about mobile, but you sort of beat me to it. But let's do a quick reset.
That's what I do.
You beat me to the punch. That's right. That's good. Make my job easy.
I'm telling you what you're going to ask in 5 minutes.
Let me think. Hey, this is HR Happy Hour 225. My name is Steve Bowes. We are coming to you live from Kronos Works 2015 in Las Vegas at the Aria. I'm with Jim Kizilevich. Am I getting it right?
I'm getting it.
What's your wife's name again? I might just use that one. It's easier to say. Chief Marketing Officer, among other things I've learned. The guy's been around 34 years, and he becomes Chief Marketing Officer. You think they'd say, "Okay, just be Chief Marketing Officer." No, you've got seven other jobs, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't seem right. But it's really fascinating. I love this kind of stuff, and I'm actually sorry Trish isn't here, because Trish is loves the real nitty-gritty of HR and HR tech, particularly around time and attendance, compliance, and adherence to rules. And I think it's really the underpinning or the critical foundation of any innovative, successful, cutting edge HR organization. If you don't have this stuff absolutely nailed down pat, you have no chance at doing some of the other stuff that we mostly like to talk about, right? Is that one of the reasons why you guys do so well in the market, especially with these huge multinational companies? Because you can bring in Kronos, and now we don't have to worry about these things.
That's right. This stuff, I think there's two dimensions to that. One, it's got to work. It's got to have the quality that from day one. You cannot have this stuff go down. But more importantly, you need to be able to calculate people's pay correctly. They're not happy when you don't. And again, we do the heavy lifting on that. You need to be able to schedule people fairly and correctly. You need to be able to keep track of their time off correctly. There's, not to get into the legal aspects of it, but there's, a growing list of compliance and legal requirements around, when you can, how people earn various pays and various rates.
Right.
So you got to be able to do that to keep compliance up so the company's not getting sued. So the bar is pretty high here in terms of execution. And we've been at it a long time, and we've proven over the years, and I think with the number of customers we've got, we're capable of doing that.
Yeah, Jim, you brought up something just in your last answer I want to touch on a little bit. I just read a piece in the Wall Street Journal. I don't know if it was you, Jim. I guess it was you. You'll tell me it was you. Somebody from Kronos was quoted in the piece. And it was a piece that's just about how technology is evolving to try to support organizations and hourly employees in the concept of things like schedule fairness, schedule reliability, and a little bit more schedule certainty, right? And I hope you can comment on that. I just read it, but I'd love for you to talk just about that issue a little bit in general, and then maybe some of the things you guys have worked on or worked on in partnership with your customers around trying to make the whole process of scheduling just quote unquote better for hourly workers.
Sure. So I'm familiar with that that issue. I wasn't quoted.
I couldn't remember who quoted.
It was actually a member of my staff.
All right.
Charlie DeWitt. He's our, he's our resident scheduling expert. So Charlie, if you're listening,
I read the piece.
Hopefully I'll,
Charlie,
hopefully
good
I'll
job,
get
buddy.
This right.
I read it.
I'll get this right. But the issue there is centers around I think a shift that's taking place in the market. So many organizations kind of viewed their workforce as kind of an asset, if you will, that, all right, I'm going to try and schedule people to match the business volume that's coming into my store or my hotel or what have you. And I'm going to do that in a way that maybe puts cost first. So I'll schedule someone, then maybe send them home and call them back.
Yeah.
And so what's happening, though, is I think organizations are realizing that that's very disruptive to the employees. And the more progressive organizations are realizing that if something's disruptive to the employee, that's going to affect how they're going to perform in front of that customer. So what more progressive organizations are doing is saying, hey, I'm going to look and try to create more consistent schedules for my workers, give them more advance notice to when these things are going to be posted so that they can manage their personal life in a more effective way around their work life and create that balance. With the payoff being that if I'm able to do that, those employees are going to be more productive at work. They're going to provide better customer service, and we're seeing
be a little more engaged,
a little more loyal,
perhaps, right, to the company.
Yeah, you saw that today with one of our customer speakers, Ernie Macy's, in terms of how they've shifted to more of a self-scheduling model, and how the whole issue of scheduling being a negative in the organization has really become a positive. In the transformation they've made. So the article really, we built some tools around what's called schedule fairness, where we'll look at the actual schedule and determine how closely it matches people's availability. We'll look at how often they're required to work off hours or weekends, and we'll keep track of any edits that are made by managers after the fact, who may be compromising that fairness, if you will. So instead of just creating the schedules based on a cost dial, we're introducing a whole other set of dials that really can kind of balance those. Let me also just say that the technology, and I think this was mentioned in the article, the technology can be used anyway.
Right, exactly.
It's how you what dials you want to turn and so forth.
I'd imagine many of at least your more progressive customers would embrace this approach to scheduling when they see the benefits that can accrue on the engagement side, on the customer service side, and just because it's kind of the right thing to do.
That's right. I think we're seeing that in leaps and bounds happening across the service industry.
Yeah, I take your point about, though, the technology, can do a lot of things. And, sometimes I once configured a job requisition approval process that was 14 people deep at a job I was in. And the software let me do it. Like, I figured out how to do it. And after we were done with this and we sort of succeeded, I look back on this. This is about the dumbest thing we've ever done. But, yay, our technology let us do it. So, hey, we have a couple more points we want to hit on before we run out of time, Jim. One of the things I thought was really interesting today, and for folks there's probably lots of Kronos customers out there. Kronos has, I don't know the total numbers, it's tens of thousands of customers. Is it?
Yeah, we are 25,000.
Yeah, so there's probably a lot of folks out there listening to this in HR who've used Kronos for time and attendance and for scheduling. I was a former Kronos customer in a past life. We used Kronos back in the clock days. We had the clocks. It was a big deal. We got a new clock. We was at a college campus and spread out all over the place. And I remember one day we got a new clock, so folks didn't have to go so far, wherever they were, at that part of it. This is before we were doing anything on the web.
Lucky you.
We were very primitive, back then. And unlike you, I look my age, but we got that new clock. That was a very big deal, very big deal. But traditionally, right, Kronos, unlike many other HR technologies, was a quote-unquote on-premise solution, right? Mm-hmm. Customers installed the software on local servers, right, that they owned or maybe they leased, maybe in a data center, but typically they owned. Mm-hmm. Clocks were installed locally. Mm-hmm. Data was all local, right? Mm-hmm. And Kronos, like many other established and large enterprise software providers, mm-hmm. has been on a process of moving folks to more modern versions of the software and cloud versions of the software. So I'd love for you to comment a little bit about that transformation, some of the changes that's made, and some of the challenges that you help customers with moving from, say, the way they've always done it on the premise to the cloud.
Sure. Let me just start by saying I think one of the things that has made us successful over the years is our ability to reinvent ourselves. So we literally came from, you know, an intelligent time clock to where we are today at $1.1 billion
wow.
revenue.
So you know, that's a long,
we've gone through, you know, a lot of companies.
That's a lot of those clocks.
Yeah,
for sure.
A lot of companies can't make it through one kind of technology shift, let alone, you know, three or four. But we've really been able to do that. And I think part of it has been that we're very introspective in terms of understanding what's happening around us and saying, all right, this isn't a matter of whether, you know, we should do this, we have to do this before someone does it to us. Mm. So we made the decision a few years ago that, you know, we needed to make this shift to you know, the cloud, and I don't want to say away from on-premise, because we still offer those solutions, and our customer base is, many of them are still on-prem.
Right.
But we consciously made that decision, and I think, you know, we said, again, this isn't something that's really optional, we've got to do it. Now, I think what it really, this particular transition, we're in the middle of it. We're up to 16,000 customers in the cloud now, so a little over half.
Wow.
We still have a long way to go. About 90% of our new customers this past fiscal year have purchased the Kronos solution in the cloud. And I think we're up to about 450 existing customers have migrated
okay.
to the cloud. So with that backdrop, I think the things that we're seeing, particularly in contrast to being a licensed vendor, is when you're a licensed vendor, what you do is you build the software, you ship it to the customer, their IT organization takes
right.
it with an internal team and some professional services, and they go and install that, and you've gotten paid for it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
annual maintenance fee in perpetuity, et cetera.
And so with the risk of stating the obvious.
Annual patching, or patching as bugs come up, and maybe an annual upgrade, or maybe not even an annual upgrade, maybe a couple-year upgrade.
That's right. You start looking at software that's out there and how old it gets very quickly, because they get the initial software up and running, then other priorities take over, they go on to other projects, and you're left running a version that's a couple years old.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I always...
Especially with long cycle times, right?
You're
implementing a target with 400,000 people. I'm sorry how great the services are here, but that's not going in 3 months.
That's
a year,
that's
if
right.
not longer, right?
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I think the biggest awakening that our customers have had and that we've had is just the fact that when they're in the cloud, they're on the current version. You know, we're getting people, always running the current version
right.
of software, which solves that problem. If people come to this conference, you know, in the past, and they see all these great things, and they go home, and their IT organization says, "Oh, sorry, can I give that to you in 2018?
Yeah. It's like a bit of a tease. Yeah.
And then I think the other thing that's really happened from a kind of an operational perspective is we have become the company's, the end user's IT organization. They're no longer going to their own IT folks and saying, hey, this thing is not performing well, or it needs this capability, mm-hmm. or we need to build this integration. We have really become an extension of that company's
right.
IT organization in addition to running the software. And, you know, quite frankly, that posed some challenges early on in terms of, kind of breaking down our functional silos and being able to kind of view the customer more holistically. We're continuing to work at that. But I think people have realized across the organization, particularly given the numbers I talked about, how many customers we have, that's an area where, you know, we really need to up our level of execution, or I should say shift our level
right.
of focus to be really, we're providing a service here as opposed to shipping some software out and upgrading it, you know, a year or two later.
Yeah, and I'd argue, because I've been there too in a prior life, sort of doing similar work at a different company, but it's easy to see that the transition from an on-premise software provider to a cloud SaaS software provider, that transition's much harder on the vendor than it is on the customer, right?
That's right. It's also hard on a vendor when they're publicly held.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the... this would be a lot harder to do if we were a public company versus a private company, because we're privately held, and our investors and our owners recognize that this is a transition we need to make. They're fully supportive of it. They know that it's an expensive transition in terms of you know, basically how the revenue flows in, and we're on a long we're kind of taking a long-term view here. you know, that I think is making it a little bit easier because we can afford to make these extra investments. We can afford to defer this revenue and do it right. And if we're trying to do that as a public company, I think it'd be a lot.
Well, and right, and I'm not going to speak for you, but I'd imagine if you were under more pressure that, say, being a publicly traded company might bring to bear, or if you were in other circumstances that required you to sort of cut costs, if you will, mm-hmm. faster, that you'd be squeezing more of these customers of the 14,000 or some odd customers to make that move with you. Because that transition, right, from on-prem to cloud is a really, once it starts, most vendors want it done. They want it done quickly, right?
Right.
But yet you've got 14,000 customers that you can't alienate. You can't drive away from you.
Right.
You've got to support them.
That's right. An on-premise customer calls up and says, I want to buy some more capacity or I want to buy a strategic product from you. We're not going to say, oh, sorry. You have to buy that
So I guess it's safe to say it's a pretty long runway you see out into the future where this transition will continue. Your new customers are coming in overwhelmingly cloud. The existing customer base over time, slowly, it sounds like.
That's correct. Yeah, this is a multi-year process.
And it's great that you're sort of sticking with your customers along this process as well, because there are definitely examples in our industry where other vendors would be pushing hard on these customers.
Absolutely. Believe me, it's hard enough to earn these customers' business, let alone do something foolish to force them to go somewhere else.
Hey, Jim, last thing I wanted to hit on before we sort of wind down the pod and get back to the conference is one of the things I thought was really interesting in CEO this morning, Aaron Ain, talked about internal metrics. He showed some really interesting internal metrics around Kronos' employees, the growth, the increase in employee engagement amongst Kronos employees. You guys were putting up your Glassdoor pages, right, for everybody to see. Not that anybody can't see them. We can all look at the Glassdoor pages. But for a CEO to talk about them so explicitly and say, hey, we're really proud of this. He talked about the importance of the internal culture and engagement at Kronos, not just for its own sake, but how that helps translate into better outcomes for your customers. Jim, I'd love your perspective on it. You've been here pretty much the whole ride. I'd love for you to talk about a little bit about your feelings about the internal Kronos culture and what that means to your customers.
Sure. So I think I need to give kudos to where they're deserved here, and that really starts with Aaron. He had the foresight several years ago to recognize that we needed to make this a priority for the company. So we started off very, very basically. Let me back up. So I think that the vision here is that at the end of the day, we're a technology company, and that technology is built by people.
It is,
people.
Right?
It's implemented by people. So we have got to be able to recruit and retain the best and brightest at Kronos. And we're in an increasingly competitive world. We're competing in Massachusetts
and you're still growing.
India,
I heard 300 open positions as of today.
Yeah. So top-notch talent has a lot of options that these days. So we wanted to create an environment and a culture where people, we could get them to come here, and when they were here, keep them and have them stay. So that really, with Aaron's direction, we started focusing on this in a much more meaningful way. So just to give you some of those stats that were talked about, when we started measuring employee engagement a few years ago, we were in the low 60s in terms of our engagement scores. Very respectable,
still
higher than the
mm-hmm.
IT norm. Yeah. We're up over 85% now, which is well above any benchmark. 90% of the employees feel good about their future at Kronos. You mentioned the Glassdoor ratings. We've improved those significantly. I think that's really it wasn't a conscious decision effort. It was really more about employees feeling good about their environment. Aaron's CEO rating on Glassdoor is 97%.
Yeah, I saw that.
97%.
That's like Mark Zuckerberg territory.
Exactly. So I think it kind of puts our money where our mouth is. We found that. We were voted one of the top companies to work for in Massachusetts again. Number two on the list overall in Massachusetts. Number one high-tech company in Massachusetts.
That's great.
We're feeling good about that.
Yeah.
About a third of our hires come from internal employee referrals. And so we're just really focused on that. And what this means for the customers, I can kind of translate that a little for you.
Mm-hmm.
The same way, if my schedule's fair, that the example I gave you earlier, I'm going to do a good job for my customers. We really feel that if employees are engaged, they feel part of Kronos, they feel empowered, they're part of the culture, that they're going to go that extra mile in front of customers, they're going to do what's right, they're going to set the right tone. you know, so far it's worked for us. We've got, you know, great tenure. My senior
year, four years later. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, exactly. But it's
and there's like three guys who've been here longer than you. I just met like 20 minutes ago.
Exactly. Yeah. I have no marketable skills, so I can't go anywhere else at this point. But it's just it's really something we've been focused on that we think is going to pay big dividends in terms of both getting people in, keeping them, and doing the right thing by our
customers. It sounds so simple and basic, right? It doesn't sound complex. But yet, the number of companies that actually really consciously say, this is how we're going to do things. We're going to really focus on making our own place a great place to work, because that will translate into better outcomes for our customers and better products and better service. The number of companies who actually do it seems so small still.
I know.
It's amazing.
I know. You know, another big part of that, too, is the transparency. I think we're really transparent in terms of telling people, look, here's where we're headed.
Yeah.
You know, here's what the goals are. You know, we hold ourselves to high standards, but... you know, it's a fun place to work. I like to tell people what you see is what you get, and you know, it's worked for us.
Awesome, Jim. This has been fun, fantastic. Thank you for taking some time, Jim Kislevich. I'm going to say that name over and over again. Chief Marketing Officer, among other things, at Kronos.
Great.
Thanks for hanging out with us today, Jenna Slattery. Thanks for putting this together. Did a great job. Kronos.com. That's where you go, right, if you need any more information. Kronos Works, follow the hashtag for the next, hopefully I'll get this pod posted quickly so the hashtag will still be followable. But connect with Kronos on social media as well, at Kronos Inc. They do a lot of great stuff there. I'll just a real quick shout out for a future podcast we're going to do with Joyce Maroney, right, from the Kronos Workforce Institute. I met with her today, so we talked a lot about what they're doing. So we're going to schedule a show to follow up with the really cool kind of thought leadership, kind of cutting edge, just kind of insights and information that they're sharing with the HR and sort of workforce community through the Kronos Workforce Institute. So we're going to set that up in the next few weeks as well. So this has been loads of fun. Thanks to you, Jim, you, Jenna. Thanks. Give my thanks to everyone on the team who I don't see. I don't see them.
Will do.
It's been great fun being here at Kronos Works in Las Vegas. And that's it for the HR Happy Hour. We'll see you next time. I think the next time, this will be the final HR Happy Hour from the road this year, I think. I think this is my last trip of 2015. So we'll see you next time, Trish. Good luck getting home. We'll see you next time as well. And that's it from the HR Happy Hour show. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.